horns up, guys. It's Greg. A little bit of a production note here. This is the first of our interview series that we are now going to be calling the Sanguine Record. So basically, you know me, I like everything bloody, sanguine, blood, record, basically the same as interview. The Sanguine Record, Sanguine Record. We'll figure that part out later. That's what we're calling it. So the first one that we're going to be releasing, which you are listening to right now, is for filmmaker Justin Stillmaker. Got to see his short film at Horror Hound, The Rider, and it kind of blew me away. I didn't get to see it at Horror Hound, so he was gracious enough to send it to me because it was playing at a time when I couldn't see it. Yeah, so the Sanguine Record, Sanguine Record. Tell me what you guys think, record or record? I think it means the same thing. Sanguine's definitely saying the Sanguine Record. Let's go with that. All right, guys, horns up. Stay tuned for the interview with Justin.
Horns up, it's Greg, Monsters in the Mosh Pit, still here live at Horror Hound, and I'm here with writer-director Justin.
I'm Justin Stillmaker. I'm a writer and director here at Horror Hound with my film The Rider is showing this afternoon.
Oh, okay. So I didn't miss the actual showing. I thought I did. I thought it was last night, so I'm glad I didn't miss it. So I did watch the screener that you sent me, so thank you for that. But I want to see it on the big screen.
It really plays better. Like, we played at another festival a couple months ago and seen it wide. We shot widescreen. We have a stereo mix score. It really, like, pops loud.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Justin, and why Horror Hound, and, you know, just give us a little backstory on what's going on.
So I've been writing and directing stuff since I was a teen. Like, I started out making backyard wrestling videos and editing them tape to tape.
Okay. That's close to my heart there. That's good.
That's where my love of violence comes from. But I had a kind of crazy childhood, so I ended up in comedy, and I was directing comedies and web series, and I've... Then I ended up in commercials and doing that and, like, cute, funny shit. And at a certain point, I was like, I just kind of want to do the shit I love, which is people get fighting, like, practical effects, horror. And I was like, I need to make a calling card and kind of shift my career. And so that's what The Rider was me and my friends getting together and being like, let's make the movie we want to see.
Okay.
And, like, everyone always tells you to do that, and they're fucking right. Like, that's you have to do with all. And so, like, our aesthetic was, like, we want to pretend this is a Canon Pictures that was lost from the 80s and now is being released here in 2023.
Okay. I was going to ask you some influences, because when I was watching, I was like, man, there's definitely some callbacks here on a lot of different things. Even just the first... like the first graphic that you throw up with the guy's name on it and the contract size. And I was like, okay, like, I'm getting a lot of strong influences here.
Oh, so please throw them at me.
Well, I definitely got Blade Runner.
Of course.
Okay. And I don't know if you're a gamer, but Cyberpunk 2047 was this is a lot like, you know, even like the motorcycle and like just a lot of that kind of aspect of it. And when he's like playing with the metal, and it's just that, which I really enjoyed that effect, by the way. It was in your trailer too. And I was like that's going to be a cool effect. But go ahead, tell me a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. So we started making it, and then I found out I'm not a huge gamer. So a bunch of people kept comparing it to an older game called No More Heroes.
Big time.
And I mean, I was just ripping off Tokyo Drifter's plot from like the 60s, this like Japanese new wave movie. But Cyberpunk came out, and I was like, I hope this isn't a big hit, because it's gonna fucking, everyone's gonna compare my movie to it. And like, everyone played it, but it seems like it wasn't that loved.
Well, and the thing is, though, I don't think that people are going to, there's comparisons to it, but it's not like so like drastic that you're like, wow, he ripped off 2047. That's not the case at all. But it's kind of cool to also have those, because pop culture's big, man. And if you can get anything that, you know, draws that eye to it, then that's just another eye that's looking at your project.
No, that's exactly right. And like, one of the things that was like, when we decided to make a cyberpunk, there's literally like cyberpunk filters and After Effects you can put on it. And so to me, I purposely chose colors that weren't associated with cyberpunk. Like, I wanted to kind of ugly, and I wanted to feel analog. I wanted to, like, that's a little bit like the practical effects, like the one you're talking about. There's a character who waves his nanobites, and it's the simplest effect ever, which is it is oil with metal shards in it, and there's a magnet underneath the table. We had to fake a plastic – we faked a metal table as plastic, or plastic as a metal table, so we could put the magnet underneath it.
Yeah.
And that's how we did that one.
But you know what's so cool? The fact that you took the time to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because how many people wouldn't even have taken the time to do that?
No, that's – I mean, that was, like, really important to me, like, because it's just the shit I love. Like, it was, like, getting back to – and I feel – while, like, you know, I like the big action movies too and the Marvel stuff, but there's a certain, like, fakeness to that VFX. You don't feel it. And I wanted people to feel this movie, even if they don't understand it. Like, you just sort of get caught up in the world of it.
Okay.
What? Was this the trailer we saw last night with the light up? The
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That gave you some kind of the Tron remake, that vibe.
Yeah.
Kind of the lights mm-hmm. and the motorcycle, the Tron bikes. That
definitely.
Kind of gave me some of that.
I don't know if you guys heard that, but Dave doesn't have a mic because I didn't want Dave to talk on the podcast, but he still is. It's fine. He's here with me in spirit, but he said Tron, and I agree.
Yeah. No, Tron, like, particularly there's that shot where he's, like, walking down a hall alleyway, and, like, those glowing things were such a pain in the ass.
Okay. You hit one of my points. I was going to ask you, because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So how did you deal with that?
We bought a lot of them, and because, like, they wear out, you know, you're doing fight scenes or on motorcycles, and they're, like, they'll either pull out or, like, you have to re-thread them in through everything.
Was it, like, LEDs or something?
Yeah, it was, like, they're real cheap LEDs. They're pretty inexpensive, but, like, you had to, like, except for the one on the back of the helmet that we had to, like, weld on, and that, even that, like, when the power, there was a couple shots where we had to actually go back in where the light had gone dead in the shot, and we had to, like, fake it in VFX. So there is some parts where we were, like, we couldn't pull it off practically.
But, you know, if you use a small amount of VFX to complement practical, exactly. that's my favorite.
Yeah.
We watched a movie, and I'm not going to give any spoilers, mm-hmm. but we watched a movie Thursday night. Some things that they did, and I was like, that could have been done practical with just a little bit of VFX there, and it would have just made my heart sing, and I'm like, because it didn't.
It's. I know exactly what you mean too. Because I come across that in films. I'm like, it's not that much. It costs, from a filmmaking perspective, if unless you have someone or you yourself are fluent in doing VFX, you're adding so much extra time and cost to your movie that you can actually kind of think about it practically. It might be easier to solve. Like, I've seen some of the films here at Horror Hound. I'm like, oh, they did a great job of, like, this movie Ringworms. They did a great job of, like, mixing practical and VFX and, like, doing both things with it. And it's just in our blood. The cinematographer, Adam, he did all the practical effects and built the weapons. And that's what he really wanted to be doing. Like, sure, he liked shooting the movie, but what he really loved doing was building those practical effects. And, like, I think there's a handcrafted feel to it that we sure. wanted to have.
Yeah, I mean, and I could tell. Hmm. So I have this thing. Like, I don't shit on a lot of movies, right?
Right.
But for me, the fact that someone put time and passion into a project, whether it's 2 minutes long or 2 hours long, you put time and passion into a project, there's no reason for me to shit on it, right? So to feel the love that you're putting out there and, like, your use of practical effects, the fact that you're writing, you wrote a love letter to yourself. You said you wanted to put a postcard out for yourself. That's what filmmaking is about for me. That's what art is about for me. You know, we primarily focus on horror and heavy metal, right? Yeah. Those are my two things. I'm introducing him to it. That's what the podcast is about. Mm. However, like, I watch everything from Scooby-Doo and, you know, Lady of the Dunes and Ray Harryhausen movie, all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, I love just the passion that people put into it. And I felt that in your project.
Well, thank you.
So that's
means a lot.
That's really cool. So I just wanted to put that out there to you, that it was a really cool project. But tell me a little bit more about, in the media briefing, you kind of talked a little bit about the writing process.
Sure.
Tell me and the crowd or the listeners a little bit more about it.
So this started off as a bad idea, which is my collaborator Adam and our friend Nick, who just bought a motorcycle, the vintage one you see. He was like, I just want to do some cool filming of motorcycle scenes at night. I was like, okay. And then I was like, what if he wears a helmet that has glowing gloves? he's like, well, what if we filmed at this old factory I have access to? And I was like, well, what if he's an assassin? And then it just sort of became – and then so at some point I was like, well, I guess I have to write a script. And so I wrote a rough script of, like, lots of references. And then we started – one of the things we thought – like, it's a COVID movie. We started filming in towards the end of 2020. And I was like, well, we don't need sound, and he's wearing a helmet, so when he's close to actors, it's COVID safe. That was honestly, like, one of the ways we were thinking of it. And then at a certain point, the film was getting kind of bigger, and I was going to have somebody's crew, and it was like one of the variants was running through. So we paused for 6 months and kind of picked it back up in 2021 and finished, and it was just like this, like, we had a script, but we just kept adding sequences to it. Because a big fight scene at the factory, I was like, was not originally in the script, because I was like, let's keep this cheap, let's do this. And then I was like, I met a stunt coordinator, and then I was like, well, what if we had these cool weapons? What if we...
Yeah, that's what I was kind of... Yeah, yeah. When you were doing that during the media talk yesterday, that's what you said. We just kept adding to it. And I'm like, wow, that's like the worst way to make a short film. Like, don't add to it. Like...
And what's weird is I consider myself, like, with everything else I've ever made, I'm, like, really brutal. Like, get to the point. And this one just is, like, I can't believe. So the short film is 17 minutes, which is, like, kind of almost in the range of death for short films. And so I had, like, 11-minute cut. But I was like, let's just throw it out in the world as how we want it. We like the lingering. We like the dissolves. And it's been really received really well.
Would you ever want to expand it into a feature?
We are definitely in conversations with a couple production companies. It seems to be television is where everyone wants us to push it, okay, as like a longer show.
Like episodic format?
Yeah, like they kind of like the idea of like going into the different characters, and like obviously the writer will come back. He's not dead. And for you, like, but
well, I like those short format episodic.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, especially if you can get if you can go the style of like the 23 minute.
Yeah.
You know, the 23 minute episodes and something like that where you can explore a character.
Yeah, like, a lot of that's fun. I don't want to do, like, I mean, listen, anyone will pay me to do anything, I'll do it, but
I'm a
clip
whore.
That, yeah, yeah. Like,
I'm leaving that, totally.
Yeah, I work in advertising and show business. I don't have a moral compass. If you do a 20, like, I would love to make it 23 minutes for TV. I feel like I want a 30-minute short. I would be, like, kind of like Atlanta. Like, I want to do something weird with a shorter form, but still kind of action and horror. I feel like they always get locked into these longer stories that don't necessarily work. Yeah.
Well, I think it would be really cool, personally. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. Mm-hmm. You said about comedy. Is horror something that you like? Or is it? Are you passionate? Like, do you love? Are you like me? Like, do you have tattooed on your body? Like,
yeah. I grew up loving horror and action movies, and to some degree, I think we're kind of an outlier here at Horror Hound, which is like we made a sci-fi action movie, but we kind of shot it like a horror movie. So, like, one of my inspirations and my more artistic thought was like, I love like The Terminator, which. You know, some people consider that a slasher film.
I almost asked you, is Terminator a slasher film?
Yes. Okay. Do you feel that way?
It's a definitive answer. I think The Crow is a slasher.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, I could see that.
I think The Crow is a supernatural slasher.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I do think Terminator's a slasher as well.
Yeah, it's like I got to see it projected a few years ago, and I was like watching it. I was like, oh yeah, this is a horror movie. Like you can see the canon, Roger Corman, the like he's hunting someone. But my idea was like, I want to be in a cyberpunk universe, but I just like or a horror movie. I just want to kind of hang out and get the vibes. That's why like we spend a little more time in that factory. And I was like, I want to explore a world in a more patient way. And to me, it was like, I want to walk around. Like, I don't always want to be a killer about to jump out and murder me. I want to see like what the vibe of this is. And that's what's been kind of unique about horror. Gives you such a great place to explore.
I like the gritty nature.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the kind of the cool thing about horror is you can feel grimy.
Yeah.
And still walk away and feel okay afterwards. Yeah.
And it gets all that stuff out because it's just like, you can talk about anything. Like, it's so far and away the best genre. And to me, horror and comedy are united in that they're both timing based.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can tell you're a writer.
Yeah. Well, it's like a punch or punch lines. Like, they're the same. Yeah. It's the same exact way to approach it.
Yeah. It's all about beats. You know, as far as like we even talk about that in metal, like there's a lot of like when you look at the beat progression of a song, you know, there's a beginning, middle, and end usually, and just it's the same thing when you're doing with the story.
Yeah.
And even songs are just 3-minute stories sometimes, so it's like it's a lot of fun.
Can I ask you a metal question?
Sure, absolutely.
So I grew up, all my best friends growing up were metalheads. I do not look like a metalhead, but I listen to a lot of metal, and so I've been there's a possible feature I'm putting together that I've been calling a heavy metal movie.
Okay.
And so I wanted to ask you, what do you define as a heavy metal movie? I'll give you examples of what I like. Mandy's clearly a heavy metal movie.
Okay. Yeah.
The Crow I would consider a heavy metal
absolutely.
Movie.
Absolutely.
Kira, in its own way, I think it was a heavy metal movie.
Absolutely.
Which no one has referenced for our movie, even though our guy rides around on a bike with a red helmet.
Well, probably because of this, the distinction between the two, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
if there's a metal, like, what do you consider a metal movie?
I think, well, obviously, the music has to play some sort of part.
Of course.
Right? If not the music, the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of decide which version of metal you're talking about, because just as horror has all these subgenres, so does heavy metal. And you know, you can do a heavy metal movie set in the 80s and still have 4 different genres right then, you know,
right.
Off the top of your head. So I think the big thing though is capturing the lifestyle or the grit that comes with it.
Yeah,
right. So if you're looking at death metal,
sure.
Or Norwegian black metal,
changing
your colors down to match the style of music.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not obviously not going to use bright pinks if we're talking about Norwegian death metal.
Of course.
Okay. But if we're talking about mathcore or hardcore, New York hardcore, then absolutely throw some bright neon pinks in there, you know, and see what happens. So to me, though, it's all about the personality. It's all about the grit and the guttural feel.
Yeah.
Because that's really what the thing is. Metal is a lot like punk.
Yes.
Right? We're against we're counterculture. We're against the man. But we're just doing it a little bit grittier. We're just doing it. We gotta bring up this. We gotta have that guttural. You know what I mean? It kind of helps out a little bit.
It's because I played drums in a lot of punk bands, and my friends would like ask me to join their metal band. Like then they just kick me out because like there's a prankster quality to punk that metal doesn't have. One of the things I love about metal is that you can be very earnest and like and true in a way that punk is always kind of sneering.
Yeah.
And so like a metal movie to me has to be like kind of raw and gritty and open. And like be about true shit, but like done in the coolest way.
And you could also have like this, and a lot of people think that satire has to be comical,
right?
And satire doesn't have. But the thing with heavy metal is a lot of it is satire when you think about it. It's just not comedy satire,
right?
So it, you know, if you can pull that off with the like, we joke around and we say we have these dark personalities and stuff, but really we're just teddy bears on the inside. You know, when you get into a horror and a heavy metal community,
it's nothing but teddy bears.
It is. We're all just teddy bears. We just wear black. That's all.
You can put me on record for this. The monsters are all in comedy.
I believe it.
They're like, I love comedy. Tons of stand-ups and friends have gone on to become famous stand-ups, but comedy people are the worst. Metal people and horror people may seem scary, but they are easily the nicest people.
I had at the hotel. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with this, you know, middle-aged mom mm-hmm. while I was eating breakfast this morning, and she was just asking me questions, and I kind of explained mm-hmm. to her. You know, I was wearing my
Peter Dead Jackson.
And no, I'm not wearing my Peter. I was wearing my Peter. Not my Peter Jackson. I was wearing my Dead and Buried shirt.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And she was like asking me about the movie and everything like that, and I kind of explained to her what it was, and she was like, "You just give out this friendly personality, this friendly positive vibe." And I said, only if you're not Dave. If you're Dave, then you don't get that personality from me. But I said, you're missing out by not. She goes, I don't know anything about horror or heavy metal. I said, you're missing out because we're some of the best people, honestly.
It's true.
Like, so it's just, it's cool. I'm glad that I would love, you know, to see you do something with heavy metal. That's great.
And I got one more metal thing. So I moved to Los Angeles about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I listen to metal periodically. But there, once I got up in L.A. and started riding around my car and turning up, particularly hair metal even, it sounds so fucking good in the open air in California that I was just like, I was like, I get it. I understand Poison now. Like, I'm like, it's
well, in that scene over there, I mean, when you look at the, I'm not a hair metal guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm bald as shit, okay? So I can't be a hair metal guy.
That's why they have the bandanas.
But Dave likes hair metal. Not as much as Andy. I think, but you like he's big on the second wave, the second wave of British invasion. That's really where Dave's at. Yeah. But Andy, he loves that shit. Yeah. And what's funny is Andy's the youngest of our group, and he's the one that loves it the most. And I totally get it, because if I was over in L.A. or San Francisco in the mid '80s. That would have been the scene. Like, going to see Quiet Riot and Poison and Warrant and Scorpions and all that kind of stuff. Like, that would have been the scene.
Yeah, I live right off the Sunset Strip, and it's like you can see the old and you still see the people who are like still hanging on to it. But like, then you see the new wave of it, you're like, oh, this is just kind of, you're just Jane's Addiction 20 years later, I guess 30 years later. But like,
so you can see the Motley Crue.
Yeah, you can
see the Motley Crue.
Yeah. And so like metal has been on my mind, so it was really cool. Like, and I was like, and the writer in some ways, I mean, he's in a metal factory. It's got some metal vibes.
Well, and again, it's all about that grit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have did you use so you shot it on widescreen?
Shot it on widescreen,
but it's done digital, right?
Yeah, not we shot film. On no, not film.
Okay.
We shot on the Blackmagic 6K, and so while a small camera, we were hooking up some very long lenses to it, so that I think helps with the texture and film grain as well. So the background kind of comes in more on.
And I guess listeners, don't confuse what I'm saying gritty with actual like feel like look of gritty. I'm talking about the feel of being gritty. So I guess if we're not talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre level of gritty as far as like when you watch that film. You can you know it's shot on film, and you can feel the grit, and you want to take a shower afterwards. I'm not talking about that kind of grit. So I'm talking about gritty.
Yeah,
I guess maybe I'm using the wrong fucking word. I don't know.
No, the one thing I've said
dingy,
about
dingy. No, I don't think dingy. Maybe. I don't know.
The one thing I keep saying about the film is like a lot of people have questions after it or like story, and I was like, I'd rather it be felt than understood. And to me, that's a very metal concept. Like, you understand it without understanding it. Like, I might not know.
See, Dave, you don't have to know what the fuck they're saying. Jesus.
And so, listen, we wrote as we went along, so there's plenty of weird plot things, but I was like, as we were cutting it, we were like, I think everyone understands what's happening here, whether we stop and tell you what's happening.
Like I said, for me, it's all about fun, right? Yep. And like I said, I respect anyone that puts something out there to be viewed or listened to or whatever as a form of art to be looked at. Like, you know, I draw. Like, the logo I was wearing yesterday, I drew.
That's okay? Awesome.
So that, you know, that I'm putting that out there. Every time I speak and put it out there on the internet, that's just my art, okay? Mm. And I respect the hell out of anyone that does that. And the one thing that, as long as I had fun doing it, if I had fun watching the movie, if I had fun talking about the movie, like, this has been fun. I enjoy talking about it. It's fun. Then it's worth it.
Yeah. Right? No, I agree. Like, the thing I find the most frustrating about this business is some of the stuff that gets made just feels like it was made by an algorithm. And, like, everyone there, like, got their paychecks. They went home. But, like, there's nothing there. And, like, movies, to some degree, are not a dying art. But they're, like, you know, they're not the popular as they once were. And you're not helping it by putting out something without any art in it or any, like, personality or fun. Like, enjoy it. Like, let people who care about this make it and stop treating it like a business.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like,
that's the best way to put it, man. It really is. So I guess what one last thing would be, like, how do people find your movie? Like, what do you want people to take away from it, other than the fact that you just want them to feel it and the love of it or whatever? But tell them where they can find it.
The best place to find what I'm up to is just my name, Justin Stillmaker, at Instagram. It's also my website. But, like, I'm constantly posting on there. I have a new horror movie that's already in the can that we're working on. I love chatting movies. And if anyone wants to see the film, just reach out to me via email. Is also the same, just my name. And, you know, festivals can be a little bit, like, proprietary about when stuff gets released, but I can definitely send a screener link.
And, you know, what's cool is the fact that, like, we don't normally get to talk to our filmmakers and stuff in person. And honestly, we haven't even been an interview podcast. Like, we don't do interviews for the most part. We like to sit down and bullshit and break down the movies. Like, you know, our listeners know we cover a movie in depth from front to back, spoilers, characters, everything. We talk about every scene. And then the same with the album. You know, we cover each song track by track. And then, you know, I make a drink for it. So our listeners know that this is a little bit unique for us. So this has been such a cool experience to actually have the filmmakers in the room with us.
Right.
Okay. And talking about their films. So I just appreciate your time, man. And, you know, I look forward to seeing anything that you make. I really enjoyed The Rider, and I think everyone should check it out, especially fans of that, like, dystopian style, like, action. I think you hit the nail on the head with the canon style.
Yeah.
I think that's just perfect for it. You know, I can imagine what was it, Goblis and
yeah.
So I can definitely imagine. I was looking for Charles Bronson.
We'll dig him back up for the next one. Thank you so much. That was very kind. And yeah, I just love chatting about movies and people who care and want to see good stuff. And, like, I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you. And one thing we say at Monsters in the Mosh Pit is, when someone falls down in the mosh pit, do you know what to do, Justin?
You help them up.
You pick them up. That's right. Elbows up. Get back to the mosh pit.